the first question is, in your experience as a professor of urban forestry, what were the most frequent learning needs and challenges that you encountered?
Yes, so I think one in the beginning at least, and I guess still today, is the understanding of what urban forestry really is. So people have to understand that it's not only about forests, but it's about trees, it's about green infrastructure. So I think that was one of them. And I think the second point I would say has been really important is to understand the benefits of urban forests. So what are the different ecosystem services? What is the value of the different ecosystem services? So I think these two have been really key in the beginning. And I think today there's also more focus on things like, how do we develop good management and governance approaches? So how do we, if we know what the benefits are, and we actually also know more about the resource, so we can assess the urban forest better, how do we then manage and plan for it in a better way?
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's the combination of these different factors.
And have you identified any new training fields or approaches that haven't been fully covered yet as regards NBS and urban forestry? For example, environmental law for urban environments, economic and social issues related to gentrification and poverty, citizen engagement?
Yeah, for sure. So I would say, and I think you already mentioned it, I think green gentrification and green equity, environmental justice, has become a really important field, but it's still not taught as part of any of all urban forestry programs. So there's some places like in Barcelona and in Vancouver where there's more attention for it, but I think it's really important that we start including it. And I think also what you mentioned, citizen involvement, citizen science, participatory approaches is another area. But we have done something and there's some training, but I think we can do more. And I would say a third area where I'm a little bit involved with is also the whole kind of leadership approach of things, right? So how do we develop good leadership in urban forestry in greening cities? And how can we make sure that people collaborate across disciplines and things like that?
Okay, yeah, I see.
And maybe a fourth element, and this relates also to Euforest, is kind of the whole business side of things, right? How can we develop businesses, entrepreneurship related to nature-based solutions, urban forests?
Yes, because in this regard, as business goes, do you think that companies don't really feel that urban forestry can help them develop economic growth?
Yeah, I think you're right. So I think so far urban forestry is still very much a matter of public institutions, so municipalities, for example. And businesses, I think there's some businesses involved, but I think still there's much more potential. So today you may have some businesses that look at things like water. You may have some businesses that look at things like green roofs or rain gardens. But I think there are many more potentials, for example, related to community gardening. There's all kinds of potentials in terms of tourism. Mm-hmm. So I think that many more things can be explored. And I think new business models can be created.
Very interesting. And do you think there are any fears or uncertainties that could prevent urban forestry from becoming a reality in dense and highly gray and compact cities, for example, fears from citizens or from public administrators?
Yes, I think for many, many people, many decision makers will think that it's too difficult to make, to do urban forestry in dense cities. And they will think it's too expensive. So we have to find ways, of course, of doing it, showing examples that are good and that are not too expensive. So it's not only about expensive green roofs, for example. I also think that there is a problem that not all residents, not all people are always positive about trees. So there's quite a few examples of especially like poorer neighborhoods where people sometimes feel we don't really want trees. They have to be maintained. It's not the kind of tree species we want. So there's also kind of a whole public awareness campaign needed to show the benefits of trees to everybody.
Yes, in fact, that was going to be my next question. Why do you think there are many cities that lack insufficient trees and canopy? Because Is there because there's like a space, because as you said, they require high maintenance?
Yes, yeah, I think so. And I think it's sometimes also a lack of awareness of what trees can do. So, and then of course, cities where you only have limited budgets, which is often the case, then you focus on things like, oh, you think you focus on roads and public health, on education. But I think decision makers should understand that actually urban forests can also help with education, with public health, with green traffic corridors. So it's not just something separate, right? It should really be integrated in all these other policies.
How do you think we could best encourage knowledge exchange on urban forestry and its benefits between universities, businesses, authorities, and citizens?
Yes, so I think it's important, of course, that we have some, first of all, we need to have some good platforms for knowledge exchange. So people should know where to go and where to find the best information. And right now there are a few sources, like FAO has something, there's some site in North America, but we really don't have a really good hub or platform for that. And I think what most people will be interested in is to find relevant information and good, clear examples of projects that have worked. Like what were the why did we do the project? What were the benefits? How was it done? What were some of the challenges? What did it cost? So I think these really good case studies, examples, will really be important.
And then our last question. In your opinion, what would an inspirational, innovative, and successful example of urban forestry promotion look like? What are the key aspects that we should be looking in an educator, an entrepreneur, a policymaker, a citizen initiative? Do you think you can give us an example that you might know of?
Yeah, actually, I think, for example, what's behind me here, right? So that is, I think, a really good example of you can really show some good before and after pictures. So you see before it was this big traffic corridor, just a few trees, but it was really only traffic. And then after this project, now it's basically a park. So you have all these different benefits. People can walk, they can sit on a cafe, they have benches, they can play. There's different biodiversity, there's different tree layers. There's cooling, there's stormwater. And of course, here you can say, well, this is what it costs, right? This was the plan, this was the idea. And these are now the benefits, because you see that this area now is intensively used. People really like it. The cafes are making more money because people can sit out in the green spaces. So I think that's really you can tell the story, strong before and after pictures, and also the economic benefits, the social gains. And I think everybody, if you're an urban forestry manager or you're a citizen, or you're an entrepreneur, you can all see your role here, right? Because you need entrepreneurs. You need, like here, for example, this was a commercial company who designed it for the city of Barcelona. There's people involved in terms of preparing the soil, planting the trees, but of course also has been a lot of resident involvement. So I think this is a really good example. That is, it's not a big forest, but it's a local example with a huge impact on the city.
Yeah, and it's beautiful too.
It is, absolutely. Yeah, for me, it's my local, basically my local parks. I go almost every day and just enjoy being there. And forget that I'm actually on a big road, right? Because it's basically a big avenue going into the city.
Yes. And when you think of an educator, for example, or an entrepreneur, or a policymaker, what do you think they have in common? A key aspect that we should be looking for as regards urban forestry and NBS solutions?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it's really important to ask the question, like, what does the urban forest do for me, right? As an entrepreneur, why? It's not just because I like trees, right? But why is this important for me? And the same for educator, like, what is the urban forest for me? And how do I pass on some of that knowledge to my students? And the same for the urban forest manager. Like, what does it for me? What is it for our city? So I think it's really important that people see that why, what question, right? So they understand what is it does and why is it important that we develop this.
The question I was going to ask you is if you think of any more examples besides this one that we've just talked about, that would be great too, because we'll analyze it too.
Yeah, for sure. So let me think. So I think if I think about really good examples, right? So I would say cities in Sweden, for example, like cities like Malmö, they've done some really good work. Mm-hmm. So there's an area called BO01. You might have heard about it. So where they use this green factor to kind of develop a dense environment, which also has a lot of green elements. So I think that's an interesting one to show what you can do in dense environments. And then I think, I mean, there's so many good examples these days, right? But there's, for example, on the largest scale, you have the Emscher Landscape Park in Germany. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the rural area, and it became this more green former industrial land. So that's a completely different scale. Right? So you have a very local scale in Malmö, and you have a very big scale in Germany. And I think actually from a policy perspective, the national urban parks that we have in Sweden, in Finland, and now actually also in London, London has called itself a national city park. That's really interesting from a communication perspective, because everybody can see, this is the ambition. How can I contribute as an entrepreneur, as an urban forester, as a citizen? So I don't think we lack good examples, but of course, these examples like this are so powerful, because you see the difference.
Yeah.
You see, it's like with the High Line in New York or the Promenade Plantée in Paris. You see the difference in a few years' time, and people can experience it.